speech to free minds. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome on this Tuesday, July 23rd, 2019. I'm David Knight, your host. Boris Johnson is the new Prime Minister of the UK. Very interesting. We got a clip of Boris Johnson. As a matter of fact, he gives credit to where credit is due. And of course, that would be to Theresa May. He thanks her profusely. And I want you to hear this clip from Boris Johnson. She will not be resigning until next Wednesday, and she's going to be taking questions in her final session from the other people in Parliament before she resigns. I'd like to see that. But here's what Boris Johnson had to say as he thanked Theresa May for making him Prime Minister.
And above all, I want to thank our outgoing leader, Theresa May, for her extraordinary service to this party and to this country. It was a privilege.
Yes, without her, it would not have been possible for him to become Prime Minister. Without her epic failure on Brexit. And of course, if he doesn't deliver, if Boris Johnson doesn't deliver, you will see Nigel Farage beginning his speech in the same way, thanking Boris Johnson for making him Prime Minister. So we'll see what happens in the UK. And of course, we're going to have some updates on Iran and what is going on there, how the U.S. has pushed them into the Straits of Hormuz. And these are straits that are not only literal, but metaphorical as well, pushing them in there, pushing them to harass the Iranians, and then having the ship seized. But of course, there's a bit of an issue there for the Queen's Navy. Rulers of the sea, they may not have enough ships to actually get involved there as surrogates for the United States. And so they're now calling on the EU Navy. Did you know the EU had a Navy? The EU has an army, a Navy, they hope. They got to make a case for it. This might be a seminal moment for a European military to rise and to come to the call of President Trump's warmongering advisors. But of course, as Boris Johnson said, if we can put a man on the moon, we can solve Brexit. Newsflash. I thought the original story was that it was the U.S. that went to the moon. But now, I guess, evidently, Boris Johnson, yeah, that's always been the metaphor. Well, if we can put a man on the moon, we can do fill in the blank. We can do anything, right? Maybe they need to call Kubrick, get him on the line, and Photoshop in the British flag there on the moon along with the the American flag. All right, seriously, when we come back, I want to take a look at what I think is a very concerning trend of the Pentagon, DARPA, always getting involved in things that are not necessarily things that you might expect would be the purview of a advanced weapons research facility, right, for the Pentagon. You know, doing things like monitoring and controlling people's brains, being able to selectively implant and erase memories, or perhaps creating the internet. That was a DARPA project. The autonomous driving cars, the autonomous killer robots, and now we have a new one. Talking plasma laser balls. You probably saw this on the Drudge Report, along with the reports that they now have a drill going on in Washington, D.C. with the military. We've seen this type of thing happening all over the country. And there are some very important things to look at with this. Why are they doing this? What is the end result of this? And how are these non-lethal weapon programs going to be used? They certainly aren't going to use them at the border to stop people from coming across the border. We can't do that. We can spend $2.5 billion to protect these people in D.C., you know, just like the elites have walls around their houses. Oh, well, we'll have the military to protect them because the rest of us can go pound sand until they come for us with their talking plasma laser balls if we make too much noise.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome on this Tuesday, July 23rd, year of our Lord 2019. I'm David Knight, your host, as I played at the top of the hour the acceptance speech of Boris Johnson, who has now become the next prime minister. Of course, Theresa May is still hanging on. Still hanging on by her polished nails to the prime ministership. She's not going to resign until next Wednesday. Unfortunately, she will get out eventually. Eventually, she'll be leaving, and he will actually be prime minister. And then, as I said, you know, he thanked her profusely for helping to make him prime minister. Theresa May be, who never did anything except try to keep Britain in the European Union and tried to get America involved in Syria with that phony Skripal escapade, the Skripal poisoning, and poisoning pigeons in the park. We need Tom Lehrer back to do a song about Theresa May and Nikki Haley's favorite conspiracy theory. But if he doesn't deliver, and he's only got about 3 months to deliver Brexit, and if he doesn't do it by Halloween, it's not going to be a treat, but it'll be a trick for the Conservative Party. And he will be, you'll have Nigel Farage thanking him for making Nigel Farage prime minister. But let's talk about what's going on in the United States. As Drudge has had up for a couple of days, the Army began yesterday, actually. Army let slip that it is conducting secret operations around D.C. This is reported by Bloomberg. They say the Pentagon has revealed a few details about a secret Army mission that has Black Hawk helicopters. You know those black helicopters? Oh, that was just a conspiracy theory, yeah. Flying missions over Washington, D.C. And, of course, we see this frequently, right? There's a lot of asymmetric warfare drills being conducted in American cities and have been for quite some time. They kind of tamped it down after Jade Helm. But this is an ongoing thing for the U.S. government. And I've always been concerned about this, frankly, because as these military guys say, look, you practice where you're going to be fighting. Yeah, if you're going to be fighting in the mountains, as one of the generals said, if you're going to be fighting in the mountains, you practice in the mountains. If you're going to be fighting in the desert, you practice in the desert. Ergo, if you're going to be fighting in American cities, that's where you practice, right? That's the conclusion I see. And quite frankly, as I walked through the asymmetric warfare base in Fort AP Hill, Joe Biggs and I got there. We talked to the person at the gate. She let us in. We filmed there for an hour live on the Alex Jones Show. That did not make these people very happy. They eventually arrested us, even though they let us in the place. But I got to tell you, walking around that place for a couple of hours, standing at the corner of First and Main Street, with a church on one side and a soccer field on the other and an underground tunnel going to a detention center, another place, they had transportation centers that modeled those that you would find in the United States. Very, very detailed. And kind of bothers me to see the American government training to fight Americans in American cities. And there are other facilities and Marine bases that train them to fight in suburban areas or train them to fight in rural areas of America. And I guess, you know, the most positive spin you could put on this is that that's eventually going to happen. If we continue to leave our borders open, they will have to fight in the cities. If we continue to let the Democrats push us along the path to a new civil war, as Buttigieg said. He said, we're going to end this white supremacy. It's going to create a new civil war. Well, I thought that I thought it was white supremacy that he was blaming for having created America. I don't know. He says, white supremacy is going to destroy America. Well, you know, Buttigieg and these Democrats said white supremacy built America. They got to make up their mind. But as I was interviewing Simon Roche yesterday from South Africa, you have to understand that the Marxist, this is not racist, this is Marxist what's going on here. The Marxist plan has always been to use racial division here in America, as they did in South Africa, to turn the order upside down and to put Marxists in power, who then proceeded to use race as a justification, as an excuse for a reign of terror. As Simon Roche pointed out, the death rate, the murder rate, per 100,000 people in Europe was 1 per 100,000. And after they opened up the borders and you have all the different knife attacks and the shootings that are happening from the refugees who have been let in, that is now doubled. It is now 2 per 100,000. For white farmers in South Africa, it is about 150 per 100,000. More people are being killed there in terms of a percentage, far more than any war that we're involved in anywhere. The death rate there is far worse than it is even in Mexico, where the drug war, the UN's drug war, that has created ruthless drug cartels in Mexico, the Marxist, racist civil war in South Africa against white farmers is far more lethal than even the UN-manufactured drug wars in Mexico. And so when we look at this, and we look at the way that they're training to fight, maybe that's what they're fighting for. Maybe it won't be the Pentagon directly taking on American citizens, as they have put in some of their scenarios. You know, we got the remember the Army scenario that went back to 2012, 2013, I can't remember exactly the date. Talked about Darlington, South Carolina, and how those baseball cap-wearing conservatives declared independence from the federal government, and they had to surround them and take them out and so forth. Maybe that's what they're planning. But, you know, we look at this, and they will not protect the border, so I guess they have to do something to protect Washington, D.C., because, you know, the Pope, who wants open borders, he's got his Vatican wall. All of these elitists in Hollywood, they have walled mansions that they live behind. And so now the people in Washington, D.C., they've got to call out the military to protect them, because they're not going to protect the rest of America. You can bet on that. Not a mile of fence has been built by President Trump. But let's go with this. Let's take a look at what's happening with it. Mysterious classified operation reports Bloomberg was disclosed when the Army asked Congress for approval to shift funds to provide an extra $1.5 million for aircraft maintenance, air crews, and travel in support of, quote, an emerging classified flight mission. It is all part of a $2.5 billion request this month to reprogram funds in the current fiscal year's budget to programs considered to be high priorities. I thought that we just shut down the government for a month because they couldn't reprogram $2.5 billion from one Defense Department program to another to defend our border. Wasn't that the issue? Didn't we shut the whole government down for this? Oh, well, you see, the protecting the border of the United States is not a priority. Not a priority. And they don't have a problem shifting a mere $2.5 billion. That's nothing. We've got a government that spends $4.5 trillion a year. So that's $2.5 out of 4,500, if you want to think about it that way. No problem. It's pennies, right? Pennies, don't even think about that. Except when it comes to protecting the border. That is a hill that the Democrats will die on, but not President Trump. Without additional funding, the Army will not be able to perform this classified mission, said the Defense Department. And, of course, without additional funding, without reprogramming funding for defending the border, that mission won't happen either. But it's not critical. It's not important. They don't care about defending the border of America. Army spokesman Wayne Hall declined to comment whether the mission involved protecting the White House or other federal buildings. Well, you can bet. You can bet. Because the rest of the country is going to be and is being thrown to the wolves. He said the mission began early in the fiscal year, which started October 1st. The duration of the mission is undetermined. Now, while that is going on, they have no problem either spending money on non-lethal talking plasma laser balls to be used as crowd control. Would they use that at the border? Oh, no, 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 no. That's going to be used internally, I can assure you. We'll be right back. I've got more information about that when we return. Stay with us.
Politicians say more taxes will solve everything. And the band played on.
what they're saying is more debt will solve everything. They're not really calling for more taxes, certainly not an election year. So the taxes will come the year after the election. And, of course, the debt will be hanging around for decades. You know, we have a new budget deal. We'll be talking about that. But I want to continue with what I was talking about in the previous segment. Pentagon scientists, reports Military Times, are now making talking plasma laser balls to be used as non-lethal weapons. You know, for crowd control. Because that's the wave of the future. The Pentagon is advancing work on plasma technology that can deliver intelligible speech to nearby locations, that can create limitless flashbang deterrence and generate painful non-lethal, you can put that in quotes, deterrence that could be fielded to troops in coming years. Now, one of the things that we hear all the time is that the Pentagon, even though they just repurposed $2.5 billion, remember when President Trump was begging for that kind of money to be repurposed to protect the border? Democrats said, nope, we're shut down the government. And eventually President Trump caved. And not only did he cave, but he signed away authority and power to do things that he already had. So we're actually in a much worse situation after that agreement with them. When we look at this and we look at protecting the border, some of the people who even bother to try to give a reason for why they won't protect the border invoke posse comitatus. That literally means in Latin, the power of the community. Now, the Posse Comitatus Act was put into law, passed into law, in the aftermath of Reconstruction. I know that if you've gone to government school, unless you did some of your own research, you've never even heard the term Reconstruction. We don't want to talk about what our wonderful federal government did in the aftermath of the Civil War. Never going to talk about Reconstruction. You'll never hear that. But it was so egregious that even the Republicans who had presided over that said, we don't want to ever see that again. And so they passed Posse Comitatus, which said, we are not going to establish or allow to have the federal government essentially run martial law for years in an area. That's what Posse Comitatus was about. Protecting the border has nothing to do with Posse Comitatus. That is about defending the U.S. from foreign invasion at the border. That is not about controlling or becoming law enforcement, using federal troops for law enforcement, that type of thing. And there isn't anything that is going to stop the Army from using this kind of stuff against American citizens. They will not bring up the Posse Comitatus Act when they decide that they want to silence us literally in the public square. They've already done it on the digital public square. You had the people who worked for the Pentagon, the military, had been talking about this for quite some time. You know, the whole purpose of the Internet, designed by a psychologist at DARPA, was to make sure they were going to have psychological control, that they could dominate the population, not only push out their propaganda, but also get feedback and measure exactly how you're responding to their propaganda. The whole thing was a psychology experiment. And once it got practical in the late 90s, they helped to fund it with venture capital firms. They put the people who were at the highest echelon of the intelligence community on venture capital boards. The CIA even openly created its own venture capital firm to help that along and to help to make sure that we had the right kind of people that were going to be competing for this, in the same way that they make sure that, you know, you're not going to have anybody really participating in the presidential election. That's going to be much of a threat to them. President Trump was a outlier in that. But typically, they have a lot of control as to who's going to be there. And once if somebody is an upstart and they decide that they're going to run, you know, like Ron Paul or Ross Perot or something, they'll do things to take them out as the election goes along. Getting back to what they're going to do, I mean, they're going to move. As I said, you know, it was necessary for them to set the Internet up to make it completely free of charge and free to use, so that it could be quickly adapted and embraced by the entire world. And then once everybody was in that digital public square, then they bring the tanks in and surround everybody like Tiananmen Square. That's what's going on right now. And you had testimony going back to 2017, congressional testimony after the people from the big tech companies left. They brought in the military people who testified in Congress and said, look, we've got to shut down this back and forth dissent, this political talk that's going on social media. We have to silence the big cannons of social media. And that's really what they've been doing. First InfoWars, 2 months later, another 800 sites, independent media. They don't want your voice. They certainly don't want independent media in the digital public square. And we're arriving at the point where they're not going to be very tolerant of people in the physical public square who want to come there and address their grievances of the public. And so we see this type of thing, talking plasma laser balls. They said that instead of beaming a flashing light or shouting over a loudspeaker to keep people away from sensitive areas, they're not going to be sending out the high-pitched mosquito sounds to drive away young people, the ones that the older people don't hear, because maybe a lot of older people who are fed up with the direction that the government is going. They have new technology being developed, which could allow troops to fire a laser that can form a plasma ball that talks to potential intruders. It's part of the, listen, they have actually a program for this. It is the Joint Non-Lethal Weapons Directorate. That's the name of the program that's created this. They are going to find ways to deter, stun, basically stop adversaries short of killing them. Well, stop or we'll be forced to fire upon you, they say. And of course, sometimes these non-lethal things do turn lethal, but let's just take a look at what they have planned for people. They say it can pass through glass into a building, but not yet penetrate other solid barriers. So it's just in its initial stages, they said. They will be going through solid barriers as they continue to pour money into this project to control you. The device could be mounted to a small vehicle and make for mobile crowd control. Yes, this is the mission of our military now. These people, a scientist with the Naval Information Warfare Center. Yes, it is an info war. And like I said, it's not just going to be on social media. This information war is going to be in the physical public space with non-lethal crowd suppression. They're not just going to be shadow banning you. They'll be hitting you with laser balls. The setup can also be used as a reusable flashbang that can pulse 155 decibel frequencies nearly continuously. Compared to the standard flashbang grenades, it can only do one or sometimes two loud blasts to disorient people. The use of flashbangs can be extended from seconds to minutes. And they said the laser can cause a similar effect that a jet airplane does when it creates a sonic boom. They said instead of using an airplane, we'll be using electronics and lasers to give that same effect to you. And it has this added benefit. It has a skin heating option. And they said the recipient will see or feel the laser device. They said it'll poke through clothing, drill smaller than microscopic holes in your skin. The drilling doesn't cause damage, they say. Oh, but it does set off nerve responses. It's basically going to hurt. And, of course, they assure you that it's not going to be lethal. And you can believe everything the Pentagon says.
Analyzing the globalist's next move. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. Let's take it a little bit more into the here and now from the talking laser balls that are going to be used for crowd control by DARPA that they're developing. And, of course, having a laser beam that they can turn on you that'll it'll penetrate your clothes. It'll create microscopic holes in your skin. You're going to feel it. Oh, yeah, you're going to feel it. Oh, but it won't kill you. Don't worry. It won't kill you. We have people who are killed from rubber bullets, but, that's okay because we're going to have a crowd control of some sort. They're not going to protect the border. They're going to use $2.5 billion just to, protect in a special way Washington, D.C., because the rest of the country, as far as they're concerned, can go to hell. That's the truth of it. But let's take a look at what they're going to be doing to us. And it all falls into what is happening at the border as well. You may not realize how the border crisis this bipartisan, multi-administration, engineered problem is being used to push you to accept these types of controls in your life, to beg for them, as a matter of fact. I'm absolutely amazed to see how many conservatives out there are begging for E-Verify. Please make everybody get a government-granted number. And whenever we want to have a job or change jobs, we should have to be vetted and validated by the federal government. Who's doing such a good job of protecting the border right now? They're going to vet you to make sure that you are allowed to work here in the United States. You will get permission from Washington to get a new job. Everybody. And you'll have to have that electronic validation. And it could be a number. It could be your biometric information. All these, and the conservatives are begging for this now. All these people are so concerned about biometric stamping and indexing, and databases are now begging for this as a way to control the border. We can't build a simple wall. No. Instead, what we will do is we will build a biometric database to make us all slaves of Washington. And we'll begin by all the people coming across the border. Let's get DNA data on them. Let's get all the biometric data on them. And then, we'll have to apply that to everybody else. And so whenever you travel, whenever you get a job, you'll have to be verified by the government. Don't worry about giving up your freedom. They'll keep you safe. That's the way this always works. Right? Doesn't it always work? Every time we give up our liberties, don't we become safer? You know, the Patriot Act, aren't we safer now? A Detroit police commissioner was arrested this week for disorderly conduct during a commissioner's meeting because he got very upset about how facial recognition was being rolled out, and he wanted some answers. They wouldn't give him any answers. He kept insisting on the answers. So what'd they do? They gave him answers. No, they didn't give him any answers. The answer that he got was to be carried off and arrested. No answers. You'll be arrested if you insist on this. Well, he's just lucky they don't have the plasma laser ball ready yet for him, or he would have gotten that treatment. Commissioner Willie Burton was taken into custody after repeatedly questioning board chairwoman Lisa Carter about what she would do differently in her new term as board chairperson. She thought that he was out of order. Unfortunately, she didn't have the button for the plasma laser available at the time, so she just called the police to remove him. And as the Detroit police chief commented, he said the arrest was legal. I'm not criticizing my officers, but after weighing the totality of the circumstances, I thought it best to drop the charges in order to maintain a harmonious relationship with the board and the people who elected Burton. Here's an elected official, elected to oversee the actions that the police are taking. And when the police and the local government decide they're going to set up a facial recognition system, and he's concerned about the consequences of that, and he should be, when he does his job and he pushes for an answer, they arrest him. But then they drop the charges because, you know, they're nice guys and we can trust them. According to Detroit News, tensions are running high as the police commissioner board is seeking to approve or ban the controversial use of facial recognition technology. And, of course, this has been banned in many other places, especially in California, where people really understand what is going on with this. You got Amazon rolling out their Alexa system, selling it, making a lot of money, essentially creating the kind of surveillance system that they have done in China to their citizens. We know where this is going, and we know who's making money from this. This is a massive rollout of a new profit center like the military-industrial complex, and we are apparently powerless to stop it. And I can tell you, when you go back and you look at geospatial intelligence, it's where James Clapper's career was made. It is the fastest growing part of the intelligence community. They have annual conferences every year of thousands of people, 4,000 or 5,000 people every year looking at this. Geospatial intelligence, where they map you and your political beliefs and your religious beliefs and everything else about you. They already map that using the metadata that Michael Hayden said, oh, we're not listening to your conversations. We're not reading your emails. We're just looking at your metadata, because that's what they can analyze most easily right now using algorithms. And so they use that to profile everybody. And I can tell you that the police use of this, like Minority Report, is far more advanced in terms of pre-crime, in terms of anticipatory intelligence. This is another area of this. Anticipatory intelligence, identifying you before a problem happens. But just think about the fact that you're going to have people out, you're going to have AI machines out there that are going to be identifying you like Minority Report. And if they misidentify you, are you going to be SWAT teamed by some AI computer? Is some software bug going to misidentify you and have you lose your life or your family? I mean, look at how many times this militarized police force that we've created to enforce the war on drugs. We decide that we're going to create militarized police, SWAT teams, doing no-knock raids throughout the United States. Why? Because we've got to protect people from using drugs. Well, that hasn't worked, has it, for 40-some-odd years. It's only made drug abuse worse. We've gotten more intense forms of every kind of drug. We have corrupted our police force. We have destroyed our legal system and the presumption of innocence. We've created massive drug cartels. We've created international drug wars. And yet, drug use is higher than ever. And then in addition to that, we have no-knock raids being conducted frequently on innocent people who think they're being, especially in bad neighborhoods, they think they're being invaded by criminals, and they try to defend themselves. And any move that they make is interpreted as a threat by the police, who are then free to kill them. Now, are we going to turn that over to artificial intelligence to start doing that? I remember when they first started doing some of this anticipatory intelligence about 5 or 6 years ago. They started monitoring public squares. They saw a guy in one particular incident. He kind of circles his car a couple of times. Circles a car. They don't know it's his car. Circles the car a couple of times. Then he bends down and disappears for a while. Well, they SWAT teamed him. You know what he was doing? He had a flat tire and he was changing it. Oh, but, you know, hey, he had a tire arm. It looked like a rifle on his hand. You know, I can just see that coming in the future. Fortunately, in that particular case, nothing happened to the individual, but I can just see it in the future. You know, well, yeah, he was a black man. And he had this thing in his hand, looked like a rifle. We had to kill him because I felt threatened by that, because I was told by the AI computer that this guy was a threat. He was dangerous. And, you know, we can always trust the computers. They never get it wrong, right? So, you know, as we create this situation, we create this Chinese system of surveillance, this Minority Report system of pre-crime. We open up the border so that everybody is freaked out. They don't want anybody working without a license, traveling without a license, speaking without a license. Oh, yeah, we're going to have apps for all of that stuff. Stay with us. We'll be right back. You know, our border is so wide open, it's not possible to tell who or even what is coming across the border. There was a British paper, Daily Star, linked by the Drudge Report, reported a couple of guys in San Benito. They're at the river, and they said, oh, look at this. It's on four legs. You know, what is that thing? They couldn't quite make it out. It was on four legs. It was drinking water. Then it spotted them. It stood up on two legs and ran away. And they said, half man, half dog, lurking near Texas River, leaves fishermen terrified. And later on, they were able to get closer to it and identify this creature. And we have that video right now. Let's run that video clip number two.
I'm a mog, half man, half dog.
I'm my own best friend. I just had to throw that in there. But We have the Bigfoot, essentially, if you will, of the climate scientists, you know, the melting ice caps that have been so long promised to us by Al Gore. In search of that Bigfoot adventure, we've got now, this is almost like an annual pilgrimage of climate scientists who want to go to the North Pole so they can get pictures of the melting ice caps. And then they get icebound, even with the purpose-built ships that are supposed to cut through the ice. And we had this a couple of years ago. Remember, they had a group that went up, and they got stuck in the ice. They called on another ship, and they got stuck in the ice. Eventually, they had a Russian ship go there and get the expedition out. But that happens from time to time, and it's now happened again. They said we'd expected more melting. You know, this is, again, the government's favorite conspiracy theory. You know, the melting ice caps. It has become the Bigfoot of the climate science, quote-unquote science. Thick Arctic ice forces a Norwegian climate research icebreaker to turn back. This was the Crown Prince Haakon, I guess is how you pronounce that. They said they were going to the North Pole, but they met thicker and more massive sea ice than expected. And, of course, in the North Pole, it is summertime right now, folks. Thick one-year ice. Think about that. Thick one-year ice combined with large batches of multi-year ice. It's not melting. And it got even thicker within the last year. The ice is still 10 feet thick in mid-July, they said. Even the researchers' long special-purpose chainsaws proved to be hopeless. While the 20,000 horsepower ship at a cost of $175 million. I mean, this thing is purpose-built to cut through ice. It's got 20,000 horsepower. They spent $175 million for the ship, and it couldn't cut it in one way or the other. It failed miserably at attempts to push through. In the middle of July, they said, we saw a few signs of thawing, and we assumed that the spring had come. Polar bears were seen this past winter in the middle of the Barents Sea, which shows that the ice edge was very far south. Yes, that's right. But, of course, when you look at the news reports, you wouldn't know this, right? We have proof that we have global warming. Global warming is back. According to all these news reports, as I pointed out yesterday, CJ and I were talking about that on Friday. It's like they're reporting all this stuff as not as temperatures, but as heat indexes. So on Friday, you know, when the air temperature here in Austin was 97 degrees, they were showing 107 heat index. There you go. Oh, wow. See, it's melting down. It's doing that everywhere. Look, it is hot. It's July. But certainly here in Texas, the onset of summer has been later than, mercifully, later than usual. And it's not global warming. There is weather that changes from time to time, and it is localized, as I pointed out yesterday, and it certainly is not extended globally. And we can see that as the Norwegian ship gets stuck there. Meanwhile, the other conspiracy theory, the other favorite conspiracy theory of the federal government has been for nearly 50 years, reefer madness has now struck the Kentucky governor, who says, I will never legalize cannabis because of, quote, the overdoses. Yes, he must be, I don't know what he and Jeff Sessions are smoking or drinking, but Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin, a Republican, went on local radio and said, if you want to legalize marijuana, he said, that's a sucker's bet. He said, we're not going to do that while I'm governor. We're not going to be legalizing the use of marijuana in this state for recreational purposes or for revenue-generating purposes. There are people overdosing, basing on ingestion of products that are edibles and things. Well, actually, no, not really. As some of the magazines have pointed out, you can have a bad reaction, and people have. You know, one of the products of the war on drugs is that we have now highly intensified forms of even things like marijuana. The same thing happened during alcohol prohibition. People stopped drinking beer and wine, and they started going to hard liquor. And in many cases, they got hard liquor that was manufactured by bootleggers that would make them go blind because they didn't pay any attention to any standards. So you get more intense forms of whatever it is that you're prohibiting, and you get people making it who don't pay any attention to safety issues. But we still haven't had anybody die from overdoses. You know, you have people dying all the time from overdoses of alcohol. Every fall, when you got a bunch of people going to college for the first time, you'll see report after report of incoming freshmen who get caught up in the fraternity culture and dying from drinking too much alcohol. That doesn't happen with pot. And so if the governor is concerned about overdoses, maybe he should stop the manufacture of Kentucky bourbon or something. I don't know. You know, go back to the, reinvoke the 18th Amendment, repeal the 21st and go back to the 18th. I don't know. But there are people that have been going to the emergency room for reactions to marijuana. Basically a panic attack, as a Dr. Larry Bedard has pointed out, the American College of Emergency Physicians. Deaths as a result of drug overdoses have skyrocketed in the U.S. For example, we've had over 20,000 people die from fentanyl. We've had over 15,000 people die from heroin. We've had 14,500 people die from prescription opioids. Marijuana? Nobody. And so... we'll see, you know, but it's, again, there is no understanding of the difference between something that gets you high, like recreational marijuana, and CBD, which has medical uses. This ignorance was brought out about what the public is looking for and the demand, really. Christian book distributors, reports Breitbart, are now dropping the initials CBD. Because I've had so many people coming to them trying to buy CBD oil, which has now been legalized in most places. And they don't want to be associated with that. And they've missed a big marketing opportunity. They could have just sold people CBD oil. Because, unfortunately, not too many people are buying Christian books anymore. Everybody's looking for CBD. They could have actually kept those same initials. They could have called it something like Christian Balm Distributors, you know, like there is a balm in Gilead, B-A-L-M, not a B-O-M-B, B-A-L-M. Yeah, they could have done something like that. Something from God's pharmacy, right? Not something produced by Merck. But no, they missed the opportunity. They said they want to avoid brand confusion of any hemp products. One of the people said, yeah, I was driving down the road recently with my mom, and she saw a sign that said CBD sold here. And she said, oh, look, that's one of your Christian book distributors. And she said, no, that's not us. They said they're not even ranked at the top of the Google searches anymore for CBD, Christian book distributors. So they're going to be changing their name to Christian Book. As we're talking about supplements, by the way, I just want to remind you that at InfoWarsStore.com, we have a new special. We have 50% off DNA Force Plus. Folks, that is a big, big discount. DNA Force is something that is very, very expensive for us to produce. It's a very rare ingredient. It comes from Japan, is very effective at protecting the telomeres, the ends of the DNA strands that begin to unravel as you get older. You know, you can predict somebody's biological age and the age at which they're going to demise by looking at the length of their telomeres. Think about a shoelace. Twist it into a double, twist it a little bit. You get a double helix, right? And that cap there, that's the end of your shoelace. That's like the telomeres. That gradually decays over a period of time. DNA Force helps to protect that from decay. And that right now, it's a very expensive thing to produce. Right now, you can get that for 50% off. That is a big dollar savings. Also, up to 50% off storable foods and water filters at InfoWarsStore.com. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Analyzing the globalist's next move. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. Joe Biden is now saying, even though he promised, if you like your private insurer, you can keep your private insurer. Everybody was like, well, wait a minute. Didn't we hear that from Obama? Didn't that turn out to be a lie? And now he's still making that same promise. But now he's coming back and saying, I can't promise you'll keep your doctor under our public option. Let's understand that public option is an oxymoron. There aren't going to be any options if the government is running your health care program, they're going to mandate that you take certain things. And they're going to prohibit you from having other things that you would like to choose. They don't care about your consent. And they don't want you informed. And we can see that with all these pro-choice Democrats who are out there demanding that everybody get vaccines on their schedule, as many as they want, simultaneously. Don't talk back to them. And what did they do? Well, the very first thing they did was to punish people. The stick that they used was to punish people by saying, well, your kids can't come to our government schools anymore. If you don't get your vaccines, if you don't do this, you don't do that, you don't take this medicine, you don't take that medicine, you're going to be pushed out of the public health system, and there isn't going to be another system there. You know, you may, if you have a public option, you probably won't be able to keep your doctor because your doctor is probably going to want to get out of being a doctor, stop practicing, because they aren't going to like these mandates either. But let's... You know, we look at the government controls that all these people are putting on, and we're going to talk about the squad coming up here. We have the woman, Erica Thomas, Jussie Smollett of the Georgia State House, and doing her walk back of lies that she told in her desperate bid to become one of the squad. They've got a quad squad. She wanted to make it a fivesome. But it looks like that has kind of melted down. She picked on the wrong person to pick on. She thought she had a good patsy with a white male that she had sampled out, who had the audacity to talk back to her when she butted into a line for people who had limited number of groceries. He got upset about it. Being a Democrat, he decided that he would tell her off. And being a white male, she decided that she would come after him. He said, wait a minute, I'm from Cuba, and I'm a Democrat, a lifelong Democrat. So we're going to have that coming up for you. But let's take a look at Rashida Tlaib. She is now virtue signaling to a labor union, talking about how she would like to go even higher on minimum wage. Here is Rashida Tlaib.
$2.13 as a tipped employee's pay. $2.13 per hour federally. Some states, of course, here in Michigan, it's over $3.50 or so. But think about that for 1 minute. And people cannot live on those kinds of wages. And we can't allow people to be living off of relying on tipped wages. It's just not, or whatever they call it, tipped income, because it's just not enough to support our families. But I also want to always tell a story because big fights like this one, $15. By the way, when we started it, it should have been $15. Now I think it should be $20. Picture America rising here. It should be $20. No, it should be $20.
Do I hear 15? Do I hear 16? Do I hear $18 an hour? No, she takes it up to $20 an hour. You know, H.L. Mencken had it right. An election is an advanced auction of stolen goods, and there she is. You know, nobody's even hitting the gavel. She's taking it up higher and higher. And she's making the case for why minimum wage doesn't work. She said, you know, we've got to keep raising wages because the prices keep going up. And it's like, yeah, we told you that. We also told Bernie Sanders that the reality is that if you pay people more money, you're going to have fewer hours working, which he discovered after a whistleblower explained that this guy who is virtue signaling about $15 an hour is paying his people $11 an hour. But, you know, he got very angry about that whistleblower. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, The David Knight Show.
Welcome back. You just saw at the top of the hour, you saw Rashida Tlaib at a labor union for restaurant workers. And, of course, this includes also waitresses who make tips, not just people who are working at fast food getting a fixed hourly minimum wage. But she is yelling and screaming, it's just not enough. And even $15 is not enough. We've got to go higher. We've got to go $16, $18, $20 an hour. Do I hear 20? Yes, $20 an hour. You're elected. This is a Democrat election now. It literally is an auction. An auction of free stuff and mandates against other people. And, of course, she wants to make sure that, she's going to do this by taking money from all those people who don't deserve the money. And they will decide who it is that deserves money, just like they decide who it is that deserves to be able to speak publicly. Who is true and who's not? Who's truthy and who's not? We will determine who is real and who is allowed to make money and how much money they are to make. Yesterday, I went through a long list of all the things that Democrats have come out, and it's not finished yet. All the things that they want to ban. They want to ban the Border Patrol. They want to ban all law enforcement at the border. But they also want to ban the Electoral College. They want to ban private health insurance. They want to ban your health choice. These people who say they're pro-choice, no, they don't want you to have any choice. They're going to mandate everything for you. We ought to call it, I think, when the Democrats offer you a combination of banning and mandates. And I think we ought to just combine those words and call it a bandate. A bandate. And all of these different solutions that they have for our economy are nothing but band-aids, consisting of band-aids. But anyway, I don't think that's something that works verbally. You'd have to see it in writing to come up with, to make that a popular use, a band-aid. But it is applicable here. And now we have an agreement, on the budget. And it's not really a budget. See, a budget means that you have to balance spending and income. They're not at all concerned about that. And it's desperate. I mean, we look at Rashida Tlaib out there saying, the price of living is going up. And yeah, of course, you keep raising and fueling this with low interest rates, printing money and so forth, and raising the minimum wage. That always creates inflation. It actually reduces employment, as Bernie Sanders is now figuring out. He and his staff went to war with him because he's telling everybody he wants to mandate $15 an hour. And they say, well, you're not even paying us that. What's you're paying us $11 an hour. What's going on here? All right, we'll have to cut your labor. Yeah, we'll cut down the number of hours. That's what people have had to do in the real world, Bernie, who had businesses. And a lot of the people had to do this to keep their small business solvent, don't have multi-million dollar mansions like you do. I know, you deserve it. These small shop owners who've been able to weather the storm of national chains that are funded by unlimited money from Wall Street investors. Those people don't deserve it, but you do. You do. You are one of the deserving rich, Bernie Sanders is. So now we go to the budget. And, of course, as we've got an election coming up, there's one thing that President Trump and the Democrats can agree on. Even the Democrats don't want to raise taxes right before the election. And so they're not going to do anything in terms of increasing income. It does always go up, though. Every year, you see the Drudge Report put up the fact that we've got record. Actually, it's usually quarterly. He puts up how we have record tax increases for a particular quarter. And we're setting new records all the time. And yet, even though we're getting new record tax receipts, we're getting bigger and bigger deficits. The shortfalls are getting bigger and bigger, even though the revenue is going up. And so now they've come out with an agreement. President Trump announced yesterday that a budget deal has been reached for the House and Senate that will contain no poison pills. Yes, everybody is. Let me tell you what the Kool-Aid is here, though. There's lots of Kool-Aid in this budget. He says, I'm proud to announce that a deal has been struck with Mitch McConnell, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, and Kevin McCarthy, who is the House Minority Leader, on a two-year budget and debt ceiling with no poison pills. This is a real compromise in order to give another big victory to our great military and vets. I just really can't imagine what it was that they compromised on. You know, we saw this kind of stuff happening when the deficit exploded under Reagan. He would agree to spend money on the welfare state, and the Democrats agreed that they would spend money on the warfare state, and then they all agreed that the budget didn't really make too much difference, and that's kind of where we are right now. NPR had reported earlier that Pelosi and Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin had been closing in on a budget deal to raise the debt ceiling beyond the 2020 election, while setting a defense and domestic spending budget of $1.3 trillion over the next 2 years. Now, this is what they compromised on. They compromised on, they all agreed, they were in complete agreement that they don't care about the debt limit. So they compromised any fiscal responsibility. And they just said, we're not even going to talk about the debt limit for another 2 years. Not until July 31st, 2021. Which gives them enough time to, it's far away from the next election that'll be coming up. And way after this current election. We're doing very well on the debt limit, said President Trump. And I think we're doing very well on the budget. Well, they're doing very well on the debt limit because they got rid of it altogether. As I've been saying since last week, we saw this all coming. The one thing that the White House and the Congress, both the House and the Senate, and the corporate media don't want to talk about, and that nobody asks about, is the deficit that is exploding. And we're going to add another $1 trillion to the cumulative debt this year, and nobody cares about it. They think they've got a new theory to gaslight the public with. It's called the modern monetary theory, MMT. It is magic money, folks, that they're talking about. It's just a bunch of nonsense. I said we're doing very well on the budget because they don't have a budget. There isn't any budget. If you don't control spending, that's not a budget. What a pack of lies. They're going to raise spending by $320 billion, and they don't care. They don't care. And one of the reasons that they're not doing anything about any fiscal responsibility is they're very concerned that there are signs that we are entering a global recession. And they are walking on eggshells, hoping that this tidal wave does not crash before the election. And I've talked about what's going on with Deutsche Bank many times, and we've had this report, I think it was last Friday. $49 trillion in derivative exposure is melting down right before our eyes. That's part of what's going on with Deutsche Bank and the collapse of that massive bank. And as we've asked many times, is this a repeat of what we saw with Lehman Brothers? They never did any fundamental budgeting or any fundamental changes in the wake of the meltdown that we had. They never came back and did anything about Glass-Steagall. They never did anything about the banks that are too big to fail, too big to jail. They never did anything about that. That all happened under Bill Clinton, and it took less than a decade from the time that the Clinton administration started okaying the mergers of massive banks. It took less than a decade from the time the Bill Clinton administration got rid of Glass-Steagall. That, of course, was put in the wake of the Great Depression to stop this kind of speculation, which happened with the derivatives. They said, if we're going to try to create economic stability by putting in a Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, we're going to insure the banks, but we're going to make sure because of that insurance that you don't participate in risky ventures. Well, all regulation disappeared under Clinton. And now we have Deutsche Bank, $49 trillion. Why, that's enough to give free health care to everybody for a year or two. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. As we look at the establishment in Washington pretending that there is no end to economic expansion, they can build a bubble. And, of course, we've had the longest economic expansion now. It was very slow under Obama. It is now accelerated. These things go in cycles. And they've been inflating this bubble, and eventually all bubbles burst. That's no mystery. You don't have any market that continues to go up and up and up forever. And so you got everybody in the financial market outside of Washington is saying, you know, when is this thing going to explode? And now we got Elizabeth Warren out there positioning herself as the only person out there who seems to understand or care that there's going to be an economic crash. And that concerns me more than anything. I do not want to see Pocahontas positioning herself as the Cassandra of economic crisis to give herself any credibility, because she doesn't have any solutions. She is an authoritarian statist nanny, and she is a very dangerous person. But she's the only one talking about this outside of the financial community. So no question that it's going to happen. And so now she is saying, as these people in Washington, you got Schumer and Pelosi and Trump and McCarthy and all the saying, no problem. Let's just kick the can down the road for another couple of years. We got an agreement on the budget deal. No, you don't have a budget. You're just ignoring it. And you're going to keep inflating the economy, printing money, lowering interest rates until the whole thing collapses. And they're just building a bigger bubble that's going to be a bigger problem. And then she'll come back and Elizabeth Warren will say, see, I told you so. And she's not the only one saying this. But she is positioning herself to benefit from this certain collapse. Not certain when it's going to happen. I think they will be able to delay it for the next year. But then it'll crash shortly after that. And then it's going to be a boon for her political career. And I really hate to see that happening. She said, warning lights are flashing. Whether it's this year or next year, the odds of an economic downturn are high and growing. Well, that is nothing new. Everybody has been saying that. Every economic analyst has been saying that. Overall numbers about the GDP or the stock market are great, but they don't reflect the lived experiences of most Americans, she said. She said, we look at things like the cost of housing or the cost of health care or child care, the cost of sending a kid to college. They've all gone through the roof. Well, let me take these one at a time. What about the cost of sending a kid to college going through the roof? Would that be because the government has subsidized that? Would that be because there is no incentive for the colleges to try to reduce tuition, because no matter how high they raise it, they can always get more government loans, right? Same thing about the cost of child care, health care. Biggest problem we have is the government and the cost of health care. Why is it that drugs that are even manufactured in the United States can be bought so much more cheaply in, let's say, Canada, for example? I just reported last week on how a group of people in Minnesota rent buses, about 800 of them, as a matter of fact, on a trip, because they have to get insulin. And the insulin, instead of costing about $400 for what they need, cost $40 in Canada. So they go in Minneapolis, they all get together, take a big bus trip to go up to buy their drugs more cheaply in Canada. Why is that? Is that because of a government that has become the servant of big corporations like big pharmaceutical companies? Every time we create a government agency that is supposed to be a watchdog agency, that is supposed to protect us from predatory corporations, the corporations go out and they hire lobbyists, you know, just like we've got in Libya. We've got the Libyan government as well as the rebel warlord, each of them hiring a lobbying firm, $2 million for the Libyan government, $2 million from the warlord. They've each hired their own lobbyist to lobby in Washington to get weapons, to get favors, and so forth. The same thing happens with corporations. There is no return on investment like the return on investment you can get by lobbying a congressman. You know, you can slip them a few thousand dollars and you get millions or tens of millions or hundreds of millions of dollars in favors for your company, your corporation. When you look at drug prices, for example, which is the thing that's really driving healthcare through the ceiling, these people are able to have a regulatory agency, the FDA, that is nothing but a revolving door. You go from a pharmaceutical company to the FDA, or you go from the FDA then to a pharmaceutical company, and your credentials are the fact that, you know, you are an expert. You're a drug expert. So let's bring these drug experts in to the FDA to run it. And then they run it for a while, and then they return to the industry, or they become lobbyists for the industry. And the price of drugs just keeps going up. and safe natural therapies. Even therapies using your own stem cells are being banned. Why? Not because they're dangerous, not because they're ineffective, but because they compete with the dangerous, ineffective, and expensive drugs sold by the big pharmaceutical companies. And there's no better way to see it than even stopping the Trump administration from requiring that the drug manufacturers tell you the price if it's going to be above a certain level per month. And the most popular drugs go up to thousands of dollars per month that people have to spend on this. But they don't want you to know that. How is it that the FDA or the federal government at some level can tell the drug manufacturers that they have to list all of the side effects of their drug, but then a federal judge says, no, 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 you can't require them to tell you about the cost? How do you get that kind of a split decision? It's called corruption. It's called corruption. And so when we look at the cost of college being subsidized by the government and then going through the roof, when we look at the cost of child care, same thing. Cost of health care, same thing. Being protected, not subsidized, but subsidized a large degree as well. You know, we don't have any competitive marketplace in health care. And anyway, it's not just the drug issues. One of the things that was hopeful in President Trump's program when he ran for election in 2016, he had the most detailed program about health care I've ever seen from a candidate. It was 7 or 8 different items that he had there. And each one of them returned us back to a free market. We haven't had a free market in healthcare since World War II, since the IRS put wage and price controls on businesses during World War II, but said, but you can add fringe benefits like healthcare, and we'll let you deduct that as a cost. You can't give people a raise, but you can give them healthcare through the business. Now, they don't allow individuals to deduct that, of course, right? And so we haven't had a free market. We haven't had a competitive market. We have a third-party payer system that was imposed by the federal government. And you don't have a system where there's competition. They don't allow competition across state lines. They don't allow you to know whether or not a provider is a good provider or not. You can't get any information about the doctor or the hospital. They hide the information about the drugs as to whether or not they're safe and effective. And they don't give you any incentive to save money because they don't let you deduct that. They don't let you save it for the most part. All of those things have been taken out. We don't have a market system in healthcare. That's why it's expensive.
Analyzing the globalists' next move. It's the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. We have a very disturbing story of an attorney, 67-year-old grandmother, who has been practicing law for 25 years. She is concerned about child separation, children being separated from their families. No, not at the border, so the Democrats don't care about this. It's not illegal aliens, so the corporate media doesn't care about it. No, these are American citizens. Black, white, Hispanic, you name it. Having their children kidnapped by CPS. And the Democrats and the corporate media don't care about that. And neither actually do the Republicans. Nobody is talking about this. And because she was talking about it, because she refused to be gagged, she has now been arrested. 67-year-old grandmother who's been practicing law for 25 years, advocating for the rights of families, fully intending to intimidate her and to silence her as she exposes corruption in the Tennessee family courts where parents are denied due process of law when their children are seized. This is reported by medicalkidnap.com. And Tennessee's corrupt Department of Children Services, as they say, and I would agree with that characterization, I think they are corrupt, has given attorney Connie Reguli a national platform that she didn't previously have to expose the kind of abuses that are happening not only in Tennessee, but all across America in child welfare. And nobody cares about it because these are American kids being separated from American families. And we don't care. Americans don't have any rights. And people need to start telling, maybe the best thing we could do to stop the immigration thing is to start publicizing the fact that once you come here, you're not going to have any rights either. They're going to put you in their biometric database and going to remove your rights as well. As they point out in Medical Kidnap, they say the child trafficking business uses foster care as the number one pipeline for feeding children into sex trafficking. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? I mean, one of the reasons why we have people in quote-unquote cages and why we separate the kids from their quote-unquote parents, it's good to know if they're their parents. We don't have any information about who these individuals are, adults or children. We don't know if they're related. So they try to run some tests on these kids to see if they're related. You know, if they are related, those parents have recklessly endangered the lives of those children. But they're never blamed for that. You know, the father who drug his daughter across the border and the both of them died in the process. Nobody ever criticizes him. We have Democrats who demand that you have your kids taken away from you if you have, if you're behind in lunch money. I just talked about that yesterday. They said, we had to send out letters to 1,000 different families because we've got a cumulative debt here of about $20,000. So on average, $20 that is owed by these families. They said four of them owe us $450. So what did they do? They threatened them. They said, you pay up or we're going to report you to CPS for child abuse. And we're going to put your kids in foster care because you won't pay for their school lunches. Well, if you got four families that owe $450 out of a total amount of $20,000, okay, that's a tenth of the bill right there. So then you take that other 90% and you separate it with 1,000 families. Look, it's way less than $20, and they're threatening to take the kids away and put them in foster care using CPS. So they don't have to have much of a reason to take your kids in America. But you can recklessly endanger your child, dragging them across the border. You won't face the kind of criticism and threats that you would if you didn't have your kid in a child seat here in America. Think about that. As they point out, it's not just the child trafficking at the border. It's the child trafficking that happens in the federal government's subsidized, mandated foster care program, the sex trafficking, using kids in foster care for drug trials to develop and to market new pediatric drugs and vaccines. The American foster care and adoption system is legal, and it was set up by Congress. It needs to be defunded, dismantled, says a Medical Kidnap, and I absolutely agree with them. But it's not easy to do because you have a massive bureaucracy, as we've reported many times, many different stories. Stop CPS Legally Kidnapping Kids, a founder of that, talked about how widespread this was, how many billions of dollars are spent on this. And again, hundreds of thousands of people, billions of dollars in revenue to different states. You think they're going to get rid of this? They can talk a lot about Jeffrey Epstein, and that is disgusting, and it is a pattern of behavior that shows how corrupt the political elites and the rest of the elites are in this country, that they could do that kind of thing. Sick, debauched, and above prosecution. But do you understand the system that these same types of people, these same types of people who go on the Lolita Express with Jeffrey Epstein, do you realize they have a system for your child as well, for your grandchild? And it's not just a CPS system. It's also what they are imposing from the federal government into the educational system in every state. Each state has a quota of how many children must be put into foster care in order to receive federal funding. As I was talking about with these other issues that Elizabeth Warren is saying, look at this, the cost of this is going up, the cost of this. Whenever you subsidize something, you get more of it. So if you subsidize foster care from the federal government, you're going to get more people put into it. As a matter of fact, they got a quota for that. The process of how children are taken out of families and put into the system is rarely, if ever, legal. And that's the pattern that we see every time I interview somebody that knows about one of these cases or has had their children seized. They don't get any due process. They maintain that this is some kind of a civil action that is separate and outside of a criminal action. Even though it's being conducted by the state, they maintain this legal fiction, as they do with the war on drugs and civil asset forfeiture. They maintain that they can seize your children through a civil procedure so you don't have any presumption of innocence. You don't have any due process. They don't have to show you what you're even accused of. It is this kind of Kafkaesque star chamber system that is nothing new in history. This is not a new system. The reason we have the Fourth and the Sixth Amendment and other protections in law is because this type of system has existed many, many times in the past. It is something that is new for America to see because the founders of this country had suffered under systems like that. And they didn't want to see that happening again. But now we have a government that doesn't pay any attention to the Constitution that it swears an oath to uphold. All of these people at every level, whether you're talking about a federal official or you're talking about a state official, they all, as a condition of office, swear to uphold the Constitution. And they are oath breakers and liars, and they're capable of doing this to children. This is part of the system that the attorney, who's now been arrested, Attorney Reguli, is exposing in Tennessee. They kidnap children. They traffic them. They don't give parents due process. They won't even give them any information about what they're allegedly accused of. In Texas, one of the nation's largest child protection and foster care systems, a district judge, Janice Graham Jack, ruled in 2015 against the state of Texas. And she said that children, this is in her decision, children have been shuttled throughout a system where rape, abuse, psychotropic medication, and instability are the norm. The norm. That is a Texas judge, a district judge, ruling against the Texas system here. In the most recent legislative session here in Texas, a law was proposed to prevent social workers from altering case records because it is such a widespread practice that they would falsify records. So they, and we've had this in many of the people that I've interviewed as well. Not only are they not informed of even what the charges are against them, but when they do discovery, these people back cover and falsify records. We had to have just recently, 2019, a Texas law to prohibit that. Wouldn't you think that'd be prohibited already? Welcome back. I want to say a little bit more about what's happening with CPS and look at the total way that the Democrat Party, especially the Quad Squad, have turned their back on Americans of every color. Black, white, brown, you name it. They don't care if you're an American. You're just filthy, privileged Americans, and they don't care about child separation that are happening under CPS. It is far greater, far more egregious than what is happening at the border. And they completely turn their backs on it, completely ignore it. The corporate media does as well. I have more to say about that and about the cradle-to-grave socialism that AOC and the Quad Squad, the Sisterhood of Traveling Burkas, is now demanding be imposed upon the United States. But before I do, real quickly, I just want to remind you of the sales we have at InfoWarsStore.com. We had the 1776 sale that we kept for about a week and a half, and we are running low on our most popular products, things like BrainForce Plus, Survival Shield, Ultra 12, things like that. We've got some new specials up now. We have 50% off DNA Force Plus. That is a huge dollar savings. That is a very expensive product for us to produce. It's something that I take on a regular basis because I am convinced that you can do something about your telomere health. It's got PQQ is the product that helps to protect your telomeres. And we know from many experiments that it is the best predictor of your longevity, of your biological age. You know, they've had experiments in the past where they looked at the Amish who tend to live a little bit longer than other people. Now, of course, it's not just the fact that they don't have a lot of the modern food, modern medication, they shun vaccines and so forth, but They actually found that some of them are actually born with telomeres that are about 10% longer than the average population. And surprise, surprise, they live about 10% longer. And they have found that they can pretty regularly figure out when you are going to biologically expire by looking at those end caps on your DNA. Once those things are gone, just like a shoelace, it starts to unravel and all kinds of things start happening in your body. You know, you might get cancer, you might have these other problems because your body is now not functioning properly. So anything that you can do to protect the telomeres, which ultimately protects your DNA from unraveling, is a very, very important thing for your health, for your longevity. And again, DNA Force now 50% off. We have all storable foods up to 50% off. Super Male Vitality is 50% off. All InfoWars Life protein bars are 40% off. And make sure if you don't have a water filter, we have the Alexa Pure Pro water filtration system now 40% off. I mean, just think about the stories that we've seen out of Flint, Michigan, for example. A municipal water supply. And nobody realized for a very long time until they saw the symptoms show up in their children that there was a massive amount of lead in the water supply. Something like that can always happen accidentally or out of negligence. Or they can even put things in your water supply like fluoride that are going to negatively impact the IQ of you and your children. You can filter all that stuff out, and it's not just if you live in a city either. Look at the rural areas. We've had reports over and over again. I remember there was a contamination of a rural site in California. It was industrial waste that got into the groundwater supply. I looked up the particular chemical, and yep, there it was. It took out 99% of it with these gravity feed water filters, or just glyphosate. If you live in a rural area, if you're not on city water where they're deliberately putting in fluoride, or there may be other things that are not that they don't know about and aren't doing anything about, I mean, you might still have glyphosate in the groundwater if you live in an agricultural area, because that is still very, very widely used here in America, even though we have a 30-year history of an association of higher risk with certain cancers. We had three jury trials awarding massive amounts of money. $80 million in the first case, $260 million in the second case, $2 billion in the third case. World Health Organization has targeted this, but they still manufacture it. They still use it. Do you want that in your water? I don't. So all these types of things you can now filter out. So Lexapure Pro water filtration system, it's gravity fed, so you don't even have to have electricity. It's great if you have a natural disaster. If the power goes off, you can still make sure that your water is purified. All of those available at InfoWarsStore.com. Also, don't forget to subscribe to this show's channel on YouTube. We have a channel, Libertarian, where we have the full show as well as excerpts from the show posted up every day. And also our Twitter, Libertarian. Don't forget to follow and to retweet on Twitter, Libertarian, on YouTube. YouTube.com/Libertarian. Let's go back to what is going on with Child Protective Services. As I said, you had, going back 4 years ago, a Texas judge saying that the foster care system here in the state of Texas was a system where rape, abuse, psychotropic medication, and instability are the norm. Are the norm. Now, that is a terrible indictment of the system. But what is even worse is the fact that children are stolen from families without due process, without the parents even knowing what the charges are against them many, many times, and put in that system where they are raped, abused, given psychotropic medication. That is the real outrage. So bad is it that we just had a law passed here in 2019 here in Texas that would make it a crime to falsify records if you are removing children from a home. I mean, they not only don't tell the parents what the charges are, but they falsify records. And as I said, as we're going to break, wouldn't you think that that would be illegal already? Well, in October 2016, Child Protective Services attorneys in Orange County, California, actually argued to the Ninth Circuit of Appeals that it was acceptable for social workers to lie about parents in order to take their children. That is how brazen and how corrupt this system of kidnapping children is here in America. Nationwide, less than 15% of children removed from their homes are removed because of abuse. Only 15% are there allegations of sexual or physical abuse. And even amongst those, when they actually have a trial, many of those are never substantiated. As a matter of fact, a recent large-scale study showed that when parents have proper legal representation, very few of them actually lose their children to the child welfare system. This is a system, a predatory system, that preys on families by keeping them out of the legal system, by keeping them in the dark, by not telling them what the charges are, by not informing or letting them have their rights. Because, again, they maintain this fiction that it's not a criminal proceeding, but it is a civil proceeding. And that somehow these child family courts operate outside of the protections of constitutional law. It is a very, very dangerous lie. And yet it is a lie that the Democrats don't care to talk about. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says the U.S. must give a lifelong commitment to these poor children who are separated from their families. They're going to have mental health care services, according to Occasional Cortex, given to them for the rest of their lives, she said. See, she doesn't care about CPS kidnapping American children. This is a real problem. It is orders of magnitude bigger than what is being done at the border. It is incentivized by the American government. These are parents who are not endangering their children like the ones at the border are, but she doesn't care. And she doesn't care that most of them are black or brown. She doesn't care about that. Because, you know, they're filthy Americans with American privilege. She said, talking about the children at the border, of course, not about the American children being kidnapped by CPS. Occasional Cortex said, there are children who have been separated that we have reunified. But it took about a year to reunify some of these kids with their parents. Lifelong trauma for which we, the United States, are responsible. And it sends chills to my core to think about 20 years from now, when these kids grow up, the stories that they will have about America. And she absolutely doesn't care about a system that kidnaps kids. And again, the parents, they're lucky if they fight this system for only a year to get their kids out of the grasp of CPS. But the Democrats don't care about Americans. They don't care about Americans when it comes to college education. They give preference to foreigners who are criminally trespassing in this country. They don't care about Americans when it comes to health care. They'll give free health care to foreign citizens who are criminally trespassing in this country before they'll even give it to American citizens. That's the Democrat Party. We'll be right back. Wringing her hands, saying, we have separated these poor children, and they've been traumatized, many of them separated from their families for a year. And they will carry that burden the rest of their lives. They need psychological help. We need to commit to a lifetime of health care and psychiatric treatment, whatever else these poor people need, because we abuse them at the border. Not their parents who abuse them. Not their parents who endanger them, but we did that. Trying to figure out if these adults that they're with are related to them in any way whatsoever, or if their actual parents turn them over to cartels to bring them through, or if they've been kidnapped by child traffickers. But of course, she doesn't care a whit about Americans who've had their kids ripped away from them by CPS, never informed of what the charges are, never given due process, fighting for years in many cases to try to get their kids back. Kids who are raped, given psychotropic drugs and many other types of abuse, psychological, physical, and chemical, as a Texas judge has said. Falsified records. We had to pass a special law to say, no, you know, you guys in CPS, you're not above the law in the sense that you can't lie on records. They don't care about any of that. And yet, when she talks about cradle to grave, we're talking about socialism here. Everything for AOC is cradle to grave, right? And now in California, we see that they have launched something that they call Cradle to Career. It's a data system to track everything about children from a very, very early age. That's why you see all the Democrats coming out there saying, well, you know, first we've got to get your kids into government schools. So we want the schools to be run by the government. We want to start that at an early age. We want that to be funded by the government, and we want it to be mandated by the government, so forth. Mandatory compulsory attendance and so forth. And now we have to add kindergarten, and now we got to get even earlier. We got to go to preschool, and now we got to go to daycare. You know, you got to get right back to work, moms, to pay that tax bill. So turn your kids over. We'll give you free daycare. How about that? While you work to pay taxes. And they can get them in the system right away. And that's exactly what they're doing in California. This is pretty amazing because they rushed this thing through. They passed it as a trailer bill, which means that they didn't go through the usual process of funding it. And they got it through right away, very important to them. And they funded it with a budget of $10 million. So what is this Cradle to Career data system? Well, this is a way of collecting information about every child from the very beginning, building a database on them from what they call partner entities. What are the partner entities that are going to be tracking your child from cradle to grave? Well, they are including, but according to the source that has the definition of this, including but not limited to state entities responsible for elementary, secondary education data, entities responsible for early learning data, segments of public higher education, private colleges, universities, state entities responsible for student financial aid, child care providers, state labor and workforce development agencies, and state departments administering health and human services programs. So in other words, this entire welfare state is set up as a data collection agency. So all that free stuff you're getting, it comes at a price. Just like I was saying yesterday, these people who think they're getting a free lunch for their kids, they put them in this system, and all of a sudden the system's coming back and saying, you know, you owe us about $15. We might turn you over to CPS and take your kids away from you. The government is offering all of this stuff for free in the same way that they offered the internet for free, because it is a trap, to quote Admiral Akbar. It is a honey trap. It is a honey trap, just like Epstein ran. If you're a sucker enough to take anything from the government or to turn your kids over to any of these institutions at any age, just understand that they are collecting everything they can about them, and they may move in and try to rip them away from you, especially if they realize that you do not have a slave mentality yourself. Well, that'd be a very dangerous thing, wouldn't it? That's why they want to provide free health care, free education, free everything, so they can turn you into a slave.
In a world of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, the David Knight Show.
Welcome back. New Congressman Chip Roy wrote an op-ed piece for the Washington Examiner. He said, on January the 3rd, Nancy Pelosi presided over my swearing-in ceremony. With my hand on the Holy Bible, surrounded by my wife and children, I thought I was standing next to the progressive hero, the Democrats' top tactician, the Speaker of the House. He said, I was dead wrong. Now I know there isn't just one speaker. There are four. There are four speakers. The self-proclaimed squad, Alexandria in Wonderland, also known as Occasional Cortex, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, and Ayanna Pressley run the show at the People's House. They have flanked Pelosi from the left. They've stolen her mantle as the leader of the so-called progressives. And he is absolutely right. Yeah, there isn't a Democrat Speaker of the House. There are four. And you just can't get these people to shut up. They will not shut up. The Sisterhood of Traveling Burkas. The Marxists. who have a government subsidy program, a mandate, and a ban for everything. They have Band-Aids for our economy. The squad, said President Trump, is a very racist group of troublemakers who are young, inexperienced, and not very smart. Yeah, he's absolutely right about that. And so it's not just them, of course, right? You know, they're always calling President Trump racist. Anything that he does, of course, is motivated out of racism. We've had federal judges say that over and over again. Well, I don't see anything in this law that violates the Constitution, and there's nothing in the law that is wrong. You know, it's the letter of the law is just fine, but I think your motives are bad because, you know, I've heard that you're an orange man and you're very bad. And obviously, this entire thing came from a very bad place. It came from an attitude of racism, of hatred, of bullying. And so we're not going to let you do this, even though you have the authority and the duty as president to do this. Even though there are co-equal branches of the government, the executive branch being co-equal to the judiciary, as a matter of fact, superior, according to the founders, because the judiciary doesn't have any way to enforce their orders unless everybody kowtows and bows to them as the supreme branch of government everywhere. And that's exactly what President Trump does. But it was kind of interesting that Campus Reform, Cabot Phillips at Campus Reform, went to campus and he did a man on the street interview. I'm sorry, that's so sexist. I said man on the street. Let's say snowflake on the campus interview. How about that? That's snowflake. That is a non-gender specific term. And so what he did was he read a quote from Obama, and he told him, the president has said, and he read them this quote from 2014, Obama, president at the time, said, we are a nation of laws. Oh, stop right there. That's just racist. I know that's just something racist coming up here, right? We are a nation of laws. Undocumented workers broke our immigration laws. And I believe that they must be held accountable, especially those who may be dangerous. That's why over the past 6 years, deportations of criminals are up 80%. And that's why we're going to keep focusing on threats to our security. Now, that was President Obama in 2014. And this is also serves as a reminder to Trump supporters that, like Obama, President Trump can talk tough and do nothing. And that's exactly what we're getting from President Trump right now. A bunch of talk that is tough, but nothing, no action that is happening. As Obama was saying this, the borders were collapsing. And now that has accelerated under President Trump, even though President Trump has upped the tough talk. Nothing is happening. It's still collapsing. And yet, all these cues that he had in there, a nation of laws, people who broke our immigration law, they got to be held accountable. They might be dangerous. We have deported them, and we've deported criminals. And it's up 80%. All of that stuff was enough to get the snowflakes on campus in this interview very upset. And they immediately assumed that it was President Trump, of course, right? They were just told this came from a president. And this is like, like what one of them said. It's like Trump has embraced this rhetoric of racism and xenophobia. And that's like not beneficial to our country at all. It's like really awful. I think this policy comes from a place of white American nationalism. Yeah, yeah. Obama is half white. Maybe it's coming out of that half of him, right? Yeah, we are always supposed to forget that he's half white. I think that policy comes from a place of white American nationalism. You know, the idea that we would have laws, that they need to be enforced, that people are accountable for breaking those laws, that we have some people who are actually dangerous criminals, and they need to be kept out of this country. You know, there's some people who are actually illegal immigrants themselves who would share that opinion. I've mentioned several times the father who was grieving over his child who had been murdered by MS-13 dreamers who had murdered his child. He'd come from El Salvador. He said, I came away from El Salvador to escape these people. But you know what? You can't escape them. You can go all the way to Long Island, New York, and they will follow you there. if we don't have any control over our borders. We don't know who's coming in. And I guess they have to pretend because, you know, these MS-13 dreamers who are coming in, they do have tattoos that indicate what they are. But we got to pretend because, you know, that would be prejudice if we were to look at those tattoos on their face that say MS-13 and say, go home, you're not allowed to be here. No, we can't do that. We got to wait till they do something, you know, like kill a fellow illegal immigrant who is not harming anybody, who is not part of this gang. And again, as he played each of these students the video of Obama's speech, they came back after saying, wow, that sounds like white American nationalism. And they came back as he showed, no, actually it's Obama saying that. Well, I thought it was the Trump administration said something like that. I didn't expect it to be Obama. It never occurred to me that it could be him. It's quite surprising. I thought it was from Trump, said another. My understanding of Obama versus Trump is that Obama was more liberal as far as amnesty. I expected that quote to come from Trump. Yeah, because it's all about perception. The media have fed that perception. They've created that perception. And I just want you to understand, all of the so-called concentration camps that are really more like a summer camp, as even the Associated Press pointed out when they went there, all these things are started under Obama. The open border policies, they go back to George W. Bush. Multiple administrations, because it doesn't really matter who the president is. It's the bureaucracy that never changes, the administrative state, and, of course, the bipartisan establishment that has decided that we're going to have open borders. And by hook or by crook, they're going to get that. If President Trump comes in and says we're going to build a wall, you have a judge that says, no, you're not. And you've now got the Department of Homeland Security secretary, former secretary, exposed by whistleblowers, saying, you know, they said they were going to be collecting this information and screening these people, but that's a lie. They said, well, yeah, haven't done it yet, but we're planning to do that. And they said, no, there's no plans to do that. They're not doing anything about that. Nothing at all is being done about that. And so you hear all the tough talk from Obama. You hear all the tough talk from President Trump, and it's just talk. It's just talk. The system is set up to make sure, just like we had with Obamacare, the system made sure that we had two candidates, so we're going to get that through. Just like with NAFTA, we got two candidates, we're going to get that through. Now, they both openly supported having some kind of government-run health care or having NAFTA, you know, this trilateral trade agreement. President Trump has opposed this, but he will not oppose the judiciary that has put itself in a position of supremacy. He's depending, for example, on Mexico protecting the border. Now, Mexico has said, no, we're not going to do this third country asylum thing. We'll have more about that when we come back. But I got to look at that. I got to say, what? You're telling me that we can't outsource the protection of our border to Mexico? Imagine my surprise. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. I guess we're not responsible for the border. It's Mexico that's responsible for the border now. We've outsourced it to them. But it looks like they're not too interested in doing anything about it. Surprise, surprise. Mexico says no to safe third country asylum. And, of course, what that means is that, in theory, they would push asylum seekers, who currently make up a large part of those who are apprehended at the border, they would push them back to Mexico instead. Mexico said, no, we don't want that. I reported a couple of weeks ago an internal poll in Mexico, and it showed that by a margin of 2-1, the Mexican people wanted the Mexican military to protect the borders from people who were crashing through the country from Central America on their way to the U.S. And, of course, some of them stay. And those who stay in Mexico, by a margin of 3-1, Mexicans said, we want those people, those foreign citizens, of other countries that have come here illegally, criminally trespassed into our country, and decided if they want to stay here instead of staying in America, by a margin of 3-1, they wanted them deported forcefully. So the Mexican people, and this is not racist, and they're Hispanic. They're saying this about people coming from Guatemala and from El Salvador and so forth. I said, we don't want them coming into the country. So use the military to protect the borders by 2-1. By 3-1, they say, if they come here and they're staying here, we want them thrown out. And so, of course, they're not going to take the people that come through and go into America. You know, they're perfectly willing. The Mexican government is willing to let these people pass through. They have made some pretense that they're going to do something about it in order to satisfy President Trump. But they're not really going to do anything about it. And they said, well, we're going to step up enforcement a little bit because, you know, the Mexican people, by a margin of 2-1, want that enforcement stepped up. I don't know whether they're trying to appease the Mexican people or if they're trying to appease President Trump, but they stepped up border security of people who were transiting their country. They were assisting them to come through the country as long as they would come into America. They didn't want them to stay. They're even more concerned that they don't stay in Mexico. So, of course, this third country asylum thing is a no-go. But that's the only thing that we've come up with here to protect the border. Is, oh, we'll let Mexico do that. Again, we can't have the U.S. military, even though they have now diverted $2.5 billion to military exercises to protect Washington, D.C., the rest of the country can just forget about it. They're sending more troops to the areas around Iran, escalating all of that. Who knows how much money all of the naval buildup in the Strait of Hormuz is costing us. Anywhere, for any reason, at any time, in any country other than America, we can't use the military here in America to defend this country. Just not going to be allowed to do it. Can't use any of the money. Can't repurpose any of the money from the defense budget to defend American borders. No, they can invade other countries. They can bomb other countries. They can threaten other countries. They can protect other countries' borders or overthrow them at will. It doesn't matter. They don't need permission. They don't need anybody overseeing how much money is being spent for any of that. They don't need a declaration of war, but they cannot protect the American border. Just can't do it. We'll have to shut the government down first. Mexico will not agree further to any discussion of safe third country status for asylum seekers, said the Mexican foreign minister, despite a deadline that was reached yesterday. Foreign Minister of Mexico said that in weekend talks, Secretary of State Pompeo did not address an earlier deal that the two countries took at making asylum seekers apply for refuge in Mexico if migration flows are not significantly lower by yesterday, July 22nd. He also said that he told Pompeo in Mexico City on Sunday that Mexico's view was that the proposal was unnecessary. And then he added, we are not going to change our position. We don't agree. We have not accepted a negotiation about it, he said at a news conference. And again, the Mexican people don't want it. They don't want it. They're not going to do it. So why do we have, as we heard before, you know, we had the campus reform reporter do a man on the street. I'm sorry, snowflakes on campus report, where he said, you know, the president has said, and he gave them some very tough talk from Barack Obama, and they immediately said, well, that's nothing but white American nationalism and racism. But it was from Obama. You know, why would Obama say something like that? Well, because moderate Democrats don't like open borders. Moderate Democrats don't like this. And the party is pandering to the left wing of the left wing party. This is a poll that was done by NPR. Worried about where they are. NPR, PBS, worked with the Marist polling organization, and they found that 47% of moderate Democrats say that providing free health care to illegal aliens, in other words, foreign citizens, they are citizens, citizens of another country, and providing them free health care is a bad idea. Only 43% said it's a good idea. So 47% say bad idea, 43% say good idea. For free health care for illegal aliens. Of those who self-describe themselves as moderates, a majority of 56% said free health care for illegal aliens is a bad idea. Only 37% said it is a good idea. While 57% of voters who call themselves very liberal liberals, very liberal liberals. See, that's the difference. In the Democrat Party, you got liberals and you got very liberal liberals. And so you've got liberal moderates and then you've got moderates. Nobody's going to identify as being a conservative. I don't know if the moderate even fits. But anyway, the very liberal liberals, as they called themselves, 57% of them supported giving free health care to foreign citizens, and 35% of them, more than a third, said that they opposed it. Even of the very liberal liberals, self-identified, more than a third of them oppose free health care for foreign citizens. Then we go to the issue of decriminalizing illegal immigration. And of that, you had 70% of moderates said it was a bad idea. Only 25% of moderates supported the idea of decriminalizing illegal immigration. For the very liberal, liberal voters, 50% of them said that decriminalizing illegal immigration is a good idea, but 41% of them called it a bad idea. So even if you look at the very liberal, liberals, self-identified as very liberal liberals, they're split about 50-50. 50% say, yeah, let's not have any immigration laws whatsoever. 41% say, no, that's a bad idea. But when it comes to giving away free health care, it's even worse news for them. And when it comes to the moderates, 70% of them don't want to do away with immigration laws, and only a quarter of them do. When you look at Republicans, 95% of Republicans think that free health care for foreign citizens is a bad idea. When it comes to decriminalizing illegal immigration, about the same. 87% of Republicans say it's a very bad idea. This is not a winning issue for the Democrats, and that's why you had Obama talking tough. But of course, he did nothing. And we're going to talk about what President Trump is doing when we come back. Stay with us.
Defending the American dream. It's the David Knight Show.
Again, the American dream doesn't matter. It's only what the dreams of the people who are coming here, the dreamers, the foreign citizens who have a dream of getting a free education, a dream of getting put at the front of the line when it comes to college or to jobs or to anything else. I mean, we've got Kamala Harris and the Republicans saying we want to bring in, just from India, 100,000 college graduates from India because they'll work cheaper than American college graduates will work. So you think you're going to get something with your free college education that's going to help you? No, you're not. And there is going to be a cost associated with that as well. The Democrats are not going to give you anything for free. And, of course, the Republicans, their involvement with the open borders is about making sure that they get cheap labor. Democrats, of course, want the voters. Nothing has changed. Chuck Schumer at the border giving thumbs up and emotional support to illegal migrants, reports Breitbart. A thumbs up signal of support was offered by Schumer during the July 19 visit to a holding center in McAllen, Texas. He touted Democrats' plans for universal catch and release. We don't want people locked up who are crashing the border. We just turn them loose. That's wrong to stop anybody who is criminally trespassing in our country. He said, these are families who are fleeing violence, searching for a better life in America. Human beings locked in cages. This is heart-wrenching. It's wrong. This has to end. Well, I suggest that maybe he talk to that father, because I would imagine that he would have liked to have seen these MS-13 dreamers vetted, locked up in cages, determine whether or not they're criminals so they weren't allowed to come across the border as freely as he and his family were, so these people could then kill his kids in Long Island, New York. Yeah, we don't need to worry about who these people are, right? Again, going back to the story that broke last week about the MS-13 gang, 22 members charged with these brutal machete attacks, chopping people to death, removing one of their victims' hearts while still alive. I guess this is going back to the Aztec culture that is being celebrated by La Raza as they want to turn the American West into Aslan. you know, it should be the land of the Aztecs, right? So let's embrace that fully. Let's do sacrifices where we cut out human hearts as the victims are still alive, which is what these people did. And it turns out that 14 of them are illegal aliens. And, of course, we know that MS-13 is screening younger people to go across the border because Obama shut down the enforcement for people who are under a certain age. He and his Department of Homeland Security, under Janet Napolitano, issued an order, an executive order, saying that they're not going to enforce the law for people entering under a certain age. Again, they swore to uphold the Constitution, they swore to uphold the law, and then they come in and say, no, we're not going to enforce that. And then when President Trump says, I am going to enforce the law, a judge says, you can't enforce a law. I'm not going to let you enforce a law. I'm not going to let you overrule the previous administration's executive order. You're done. And President Trump says, I'm sorry. Did I speak out of turn here? ICE report is coming out about how sanctuary cities in California especially have released illegals who have murdered and raped for years. Sanctuary localities across the country, reports New American, have refused to honor detainees from Immigration and Customs Enforcement when the federal agency asked them. And again, that is happening right here in Austin, Texas. The new sheriff said, I'm not going to do that. I'll do it for only three crimes. And then somebody pointed out, one of those crimes is not somebody who is a sexual predator. Oh, okay. I'll make that four. And then somebody pointed out another. Oh, okay. Well, that's a pretty bad crime too. You can't do that, right? Violent criminals are free to murder and rape. Illegal alien drunks are loosed upon law-abiding motorists. Dope dealers are set free to ply their trade. ICE will now offer reports that will show Americans just how bad the damage from these sanctuary officials is and how they have released illegal alien criminals. Again, ICE will put a retainer and they say, we know you've got somebody there. We know that they're wanted for a violent crime. Hold them till we get there. And then the sheriff make sure that they are released before ICE can get there and grab them. Illegals in North Carolina commit sex crimes against children at a rate of 4-1 compared to American citizens. James Johnson, who tracks arrest data for North Carolinians for immigration reform and enforcement, said he's only able to collect data from less than a third of the state's 100 counties. But he got data for them for 5 years, 2013 to 2018. He said, this is happening in every state. We just happen to be compiling it for the state of North Carolina. And over the past 5 years, and again, looking at only a third of the counties, he documented an average of 34 illegal immigrants per month who have been charged with 151 counts of raping or sexually assaulting a child in North Carolina. And he says, if I can't confirm them as an illegal alien, I don't put them into the report. So our reports are obviously on the low side every month because a lot of times it's not reported what their immigration status is. But then he goes on to talk about how the monthly rate of reported child sexual offenses committed by illegal aliens in North Carolina, 113 illegal aliens charged with around 503 child sex crimes. If you extrapolate that to Texas, that'd be about 330 illegal aliens charged with 1,500 child sex crimes per month. California, 450 illegal aliens charged with more than 2,000 crimes against children every month. But, you know, let's not pay any attention to that. Let's give them a thumbs up, just like Chuck Schumer. All right, good job, guys. You're a foreigner? I don't care. You get superior welfare benefits to Americans. You get superior education benefits. You get a free pass on any kind of crimes you want to commit because we love you. We want more of you. You are our ticket to bring America down. Hordes of violent migrants storm the Texas bridge, punching, kicking, and rushing Border Patrol officers. About 50 of them massed together at 4 in the morning. They rushed the border in groups. Ignoring commands to stop, the group suddenly rushed the temporary barricades, bent metal poles, disabled the concertina wire that was affixed to the barrier, they told Fox News. They said several males, when confronted by Border Patrol officers, the combative individuals began assaulting the officers, punching, kicking, and attempting to grab the officers' protective devices. Because, you know, those officers are just Nazis for trying to stop these people from rushing the border and coming in. I mean, there's a big free mountain of rock candy on the other side and all the toys that they can get. I mean, you know, you live free forever on this side and get a free pass for any crimes joined. Why wouldn't you do that? And yet, again, going back to that report, campus reform, talking to the snowflakes on campus, reading them what the president said, the tough talk that the president said, and that was President Obama, who didn't do anything. And we got another president who talks tough and doesn't do anything about the border. Talk is so cheap. President Trump has not built a single mile of new border fence after 30 months in office. And, of course, this was at the top of the Drudge Report. The Hill came back and said, Trump takes a hit from conservative commentators on the border wall. The Drudge Report had it up, no new wall at all. And, of course, Ann Coulter, who had said months ago, and I retweeted that and said kudos to Ann Coulter because she took a lot of hit for this, a lot of heat for this, big hit from the president, personally attacked her. She said, show me the GPS coordinates. And then she got attacked personally by President Trump. And so she tweeted after this, she said, I guess President Trump is too chicken to call Matt Drudge a wacky nut job. Because he didn't attack Matt Drudge when Matt Drudge linked to this report from the Washington Examiner. And, of course, they're not making this up. They got this from the U.S. Customs and Border Patrol. In a statement last week, they confirmed that all the fencing completed since Trump took office is, quote, in place of dilapidated designs. 51 miles of steel bollard fence. And, of course, they are doing that. They sent the military down there. What is the military doing at the border? Well, they said before, well, they are painting the fence. Painting the fence. Can't use them for law enforcement. Not going to use them to stop anybody. Not going to use them to intimidate anybody. We will paint the fence. Paint the fence. And, of course, they're not even repairing it at a rate that is even relevant. We'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. You know, there's a story by World Tribune that I thought was very, very interesting because it's about a pastor. Remember Pastor Brunson, Andrew Brunson? He had been in Turkey for quite some time. As a matter of fact, he went to Turkey 23 years ago. Of course, he was tied up in jail for a couple of years by Erdogan. But he went to Turkey in about 1995, 96. He had been there for decades as a pastor. And then he got caught up in this competition, this back-and-forth competition in Turkey between Erdogan and Fethullah Gulen. Fethullah Gulen, an Islamic cleric protected by the CIA, both he and Erdogan envisioned themselves as being the head of a worldwide caliphate. I'm not a fan of either of these guys. But Fethullah Gulen has been camped out in a compound protected in the U.S. and Pennsylvania. He gets about three-quarters of a billion, billion with a B, of U.S. taxpayer money every year, his institution does, to run a bunch of charter schools across the country, mainly focused in Texas here. And he is, again, an Islamic cleric. He's got about 1,000 school, well, it's a lot more than that now. I mean, just in the United States, the number of schools that he's added. When this stuff all started, we started following this maybe 4 years ago. At that point in time, he had about 1,000 schools worldwide, many of them Muslim madrasas, and they're very explicit about religion there. They make sure that they keep that under the, out of sight here in the United States so they can get your taxpayer money. But again, there was this back and forth between them, whether it was a real coup or whether this was something that was claimed by Erdogan to round up his political enemies. I don't know. I don't care. But Pastor Brunson got rounded up in all of that. So going back to July of 2016, as they're arresting people everywhere, he got swept up in that and got sent to a prison. They put him in a small cell that was designed to house 8 people, but they put him in there with 21 other people. So a cell that was designed for 8 people, they had 22 people in that cell. He was kept there from July of 2016 to October of 2018 when he was finally released. He was there for 2 years, 2 months. During that time, he was kept in that tiny cell in those crowded conditions. 24/7. He got out of the cell 1 hour per week. And they were very concerned about his health. They were worried that he was going to die. So President Trump and the Trump administration directly intervened with Erdogan, president of Turkey, and secured his release in October 2018. And now the story gets really interesting. Because Pastor Andrew Brunson, who, again, remember, he has not seen America since the mid-1990s. And he comes back to America. And he can't believe what this country has turned into. He said this. He said, the corporate media, assorted celebrities, and academia are engaged in, quote, an effort to marginalize and to silence and to shame Christians. He is astounded at the speed at which the U.S. is imploding, he said, when it comes to religious bigotry. He said all these establishment figures, media, celebrities, academics, colleges, Hollywood, and the press. It's no longer enough for Christians to get along with others with whom they agree. And I've said this how many times? I said they don't want you to tolerate them. They demand that you celebrate their activities. It's not enough for you to look at this and say, well, you know what you're doing, I understand, in the Bible, is wrong. It is condemned by God. I'm not going to set myself up as an enemy of God by engaging in that activity. But I understand that you don't accept God. I'm not going to impose my morality on you. I'm going to tolerate and allow you to do whatever you want. I'm not going to use the government to try to control you. But these people are not satisfied with toleration. They demand celebration of what they do. And they will use the government to make you bow the knee before them. And that's exactly what the pastors say. He said that it's not enough for Christians to get along with other people with whom they disagree. No, you have to bow down to them. It seems like there's much more, and this is what he had to say, seems like there's much more of a demand that people of faith approve of, that they validate, that they celebrate things that they actually disagree with. And he goes on to say, activists are demanding that businesses and schools punish those who disagree, who don't agree with them. He said, I think it's especially Christians who are in the crosshairs of these things. He said, this isn't being applied to other faiths. He goes, for example, you don't get an LGBT activist going to a Muslim bakery in Dearborn, Michigan, demanding that this Muslim create a cake celebrating a wedding that he disagrees with. Or maybe, you know, fry him up some bacon. How about that? Why don't you go into a restaurant that's owned by somebody who is Islamic and demand that they make a pork dinner for you and then shut them down if they don't do it? So that's essentially what the LGBT activists are doing. He says, I don't think a Muslim should be pressured. I want them to have their freedom of religion here. But the Christian is not getting that kind of freedom. The Christian is pressured. And he talked about the Colorado baker, in other words, Jack Phillips, who has, by the way, been sued 3 times by these activists. First time was he defeated it at the Supreme Court level. The two guys who came in and wanted a gay wedding cake baked. And he said, look, I'm open for business to the public. I will sell you anything off the shelf, but I'm not going to be forced to custom make a cake to celebrate activities that I believe are sinful and wrong. And you're targeting me for my Christian beliefs when you demand that. And the Supreme Court agreed with him. And then when he returns to Colorado, he finds out that a transgender guy wants a traniversary cake baked. And he said, I'm not going to do that. And so the guy got the same Colorado organization, a human rights organization, quote unquote, to sue him. And they said, well, no, in light of the Supreme Court, we're not going to do that. So then he filed a third time a personal lawsuit against him. And then Pastor Brunson said, American pastors have to decide whether or not they're going to speak out. And he goes, and there will be consequences. But if you do not speak out and stand up, there will be other consequences. There will be opposition. And there will be more serious consequences if you don't stand up and speak out. Which brings us to the signing of the Texas Chick-fil-A bill. You had Greg Abbott talk about that. He said, here we are. We're not going to allow this kind of discrimination against a business because you don't like their religious behavior. And again, that was San Antonio, said we're not going to allow Chick-fil-A in the airport because Chick-fil-A donates money to the Salvation Army and another group, and they both define marriage as between one man and one woman. Therefore, they're anti-LGBT, and we're not going to allow them to do business here as a government entity. And so Governor Abbott, to his credit, has shut that down. And now he's being called out by Reason Magazine, saying, how dare him do that? How dare Governor Abbott stop discrimination against Chick-fil-A? And they said, well, this is nothing but hypocrisy, because they're protecting Chick-fil-A from government oppression, and yet they're saying that government institutions here in Texas are not going to participate in the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement. Well, what the governor is saying is, we're not going to allow the petty prejudice of officials, whether they don't like Israel or they don't like Christians, we're not going to allow them to use the government as part of a boycott. That doesn't mean that individuals can't do that type of thing. And again, there's no issue of Chick-fil-A ever engaging in any discrimination against anybody that goes there. They just hate the fact that the Chick-fil-A founders are Christian and that they donated to a Christian organization that has their definition of marriage. They're not tolerant of anybody else's definition of marriage. And if you want to see how this looks in the UK, you know, we have this new phenomenon. I wonder what Pastor Brunson thinks about the new phenomenon of the drag queen story hour everywhere. Parents taking their kids to the library for drag queen story hour. Well, in the UK, they've had an 8-year history in this one town of something called Noah's Ark Rhyme Time. And they would talk about Noah building an ark and sing a song about that, and God has made a rainbow. I guess the LGBT people have got a copyright on rainbows. And so now the Christian group has been thrown out of the library. So you can take your kids to drag queen story hour, but you can't take them to Noah's Ark Rhyme Time. I think he's exactly right about that. We're nearly out of time, folks. I just want to tell you before we go that we've got a new sale at InfoWarsStore.com. You are our only sponsor, and we try to make this as much of a win-win situation as we can. We have reduced DNA Force Plus 50%. That's a massive savings for a very important product. Anybody who's concerned about their longevity. All storable foods are also 50% off. The Alexa Pure Pro water filtration system, that's a gravity feed water filtration system, 40% off. We have Super Male Vitality, 50% off. Life Protein Bars, 40% off. Take a look at the specials that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. We really do need and appreciate your support. And thank you for listening today.